Good news, people. This radio show is currently off air.
This is a Vinyl Venn Diagram show, and my guest is audio-visual performance and installation artist, film and music maker, co-director of video production, education and screening company Junk TV, deadly marksman, Olympic forester with a lemon belt in Kung Fu, a marvellous Midlands marauder who drinks Worcester sauce by the wine glass. It is, of course, Circa 69, aka Simon Wilkinson. In this show, armed only with the music we love, we'll be trying to find the songs that live in the intersection of our vinyl Venn diagram, the tracks that vibrate both of our frequencies. And we'll be creating a real-life Venn diagram as we go, and at the end of the show, posting it up on the currentlyoffair.com website. Simon, what's up first?
So my first choice is a record which was, it was always in the house. It was, my mum bought it the year I was born. Before I was tall enough to put it on the record player, I would see it, and it had such a strange image on the front that it's sort of part of my psyche now. When I see it, it makes me feel strange. And it's an album called Moondog. And on the front cover is this very old man in a really strange hat, looking like his brains are falling out the front of his head, with a bedsheet around him and a massive beard. And then when I did get old enough to be able to reach to put it onto the record player, it was about the most interesting record that was in the house. There weren't many records in the house. I would say probably maximum 10 records in the house. And most of them were rubbish. You know, it was all ABBA and Elkie Brooks, people like that. You know, that's what they listened to. And this was a little different because my mum had bought it on a recommendation from a cousin of mine who was one of the first people in my family to go to university. And obviously he'd been introduced to some strange things and he wanted to pass that on. So Moondog, even though it was the most interesting record in the house, isn't necessarily a great record. But see, the old record players used to have three speeds. They could play at 45, they could play at 33 for singles and LPs. But if in the old days, you know, if you wanted to learn a language and you wanted to make a record last longer, you would play it at 16. So they used to release French language learning records at speed 16. And it meant you could put on an album at half speed, which is what I used to do. Me and my friends used to put some of these rubbish records on at 16. And suddenly they'd sound a lot more interesting. So actually, you know, it's not a bad record. It's just not a great record. But when you put it on at 16, and then you also get your Auric 1 on a strange sound loop, you program a strange sound loop and put that in one corner, and then you get your mate ZX Spectrum to play dots on the screen on the TV at random intervals, and you turn all the lights down. It was a way of making music interesting before I realized that actually there are people out there in the world making interesting music. If you see what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. And you gotta imagine, you know, a stereo that wasn't very powerful, playing this far too loud, so it's distorting, and you can imagine. You know, you're suddenly into the realms of drugged out kind of slow-mo hip-hop.
So we're going to speed this up eventually. This is Theme from Moondog's 1969 album. Yeah. And Moondog is mentioned, I noticed, in Bob Dylan's book Chronicles, Volume 1. And the beginning, Bob Dylan talks about going to the Café Noir, which is run by Fred Neil, who's a guy who's going to come back later,
yeah,
on McDougal Street in the heart of Greenwich Village. And he says, Moondog performed there. Moondog was a blind poet who lived mostly on the streets. He wore a Viking helmet and a blanket with high fur boots. Moondog did monologues, played bamboo pipes and whistles. Most of the time he performed on 42nd Street.
Really? And at the beginning of that book, he also says 90% of everything is fake because we like it that way. So maybe Moondog wasn't old or blind or maybe didn't even exist.
Another quite interesting gentleman is a guy called Eden Arbez. I don't know if familiar with Eden. And Eden Arbez is a similar guy. He lived on the streets. Supposedly, one of the legends is...
Lived under the Hollywood sign.
He lived in a cave behind the Hollywood sign, supposedly. And he became famous because he wrote a song, the Nat King Cole played, called Nature Boy, which is a song that you really love. And he did one album during his life called Eden's Island, and this is an incredible track from this album, and it's called Full Moon.
To live in an old shack by the sea and breathe the sweet salt air, to live with the dawn and the dusk, the new moon and the full moon, the tides, the wind, and the rain. To surf and comb the beach and gather seashells and driftwood and know the thrill of loneliness and lose all sense of time and be free. To hike over the island to the village and visit the marketplace and enjoy the music and the food and the people and do a little trading and see the great ships come and go and man have me a ball. And in the evening, when the sky is on fire, heaven and earth become my great open cathedral, where all men are brothers, where all things are bound by law and crowned with love. Poor, alone, and happy, I walk by the surf and make a fire on the beach. As darkness covers the face of the deep, lie down in the wild grass and dream the dream that the dreamers dream. I am the wind, the sea, the evening star. I am everyone, anyone, no one.
That was Eden Arbez from the album, his only album, Eden's Island, and that was Full Moon. And I played that partly, he's one of those sort of strange sort of beatnik kind of characters, but also alternative ways of living. Lived a lot of his time outdoors. And something that's interested you throughout your life.
Yeah, I particularly love the story of him living with his family underneath the Hollywood sign. God, do you think anybody could get away with making a song like that anymore? That's so devoid of irony. I love it in spite of myself. There's part of me that wouldn't want to play that really loud outside, out the car window.
So we go to your second choice, which may be a slight mood step.
Yeah, this record, I remember the very moment that I first heard it, because I had a friend, Gary Williams, who was always, for some reason, he always had music before the rest of us. And it was at a time, we were all about 10 years old. And I remember that we were in the playground deciding whether we should be getting into punk music or whether we should go down the skinhead route or whether we should go down the route of getting into metal music. And none of us had a clue. We're from, you know, from a rural city, so we have no idea really. And I went to see Gary Williams in 1980, And when I arrived, he answered the door with this really serious expression, and he'd just bought a record and he wanted me to hear it. And there was something in his tone when he was telling me to come to the lounge. He didn't say much other than come listen to this. And he put this on. It had this red cover with the spade symbol from the deck of cards, and he put it on, and that was like nothing I'd ever heard. And so we veered down the metal route, should I say, for a while, for a couple of years. And the record was the Ace of Spades, which is, you know, what can you say?
That's the way I like it, baby. I don't wanna live forever. And don't forget the Joker.
Early adventures in being a metalhead there from my guest Simon Wilkerson, and you're listening to Currently Off Air, and this is the Vinyl Venn Diagram Show. We're trying to find the songs that we love. They're in the sweet spot of our intersection of our vinyl Venn diagrams. How long were you a metalhead for?
For 2-3 years, I think. I went to a school which was in the countryside, you know, in Worcestershire, and you were either really into metal. This is secondary school now, so a little after this record came out. You were either into metal or you were casual, and I did both. Started off metaling, and then I realised they had quite a lot of fights. Mm. The women fought quite a lot in the metal camp. You would go to a bar, but you wouldn't go in because you were too young. And the fights would spill out into the car park, and it was quite a brutal, full-on scene. Smoothies, my cousin came to visit, the casuals, and I thought my cousin was really super cool. So then I changed, switched camp, switched it up to a casual look.
Did you ditch the denim?
I ditched the denim jacket. I got rid of that and all the studs and everything else. And the
Saxon
thing is, I had loads of badges on my denim jacket for bands that I hadn't even heard because I couldn't afford that many records. I'd bought maybe 10 records at this stage, and I had Saxon badge on my jacket, not realizing they were utterly pants, you know. Right. And I had various bands because the badges were like 50p. The album was like £6. So you buy the badge over the record, right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
You don't want to go in with a denim jacket with no badges on it.
Okay, so next selection is one that represents a filmmaker that is kind of featured in influencing some of your work, some of the music you make, and this is Angelo Badalamenti. Mm-hmm. That was Angela Badalamenti and The Pink Room from the soundtrack to Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, a film by David Lynch. And that features lots of the signature doom and drone that is characteristic of their musical work together. And that's something that's in a lot of your work. What is it about drones? And
I think like a song like that, there's no need for it to really ever end. It might as well just keep going. You know, you just turn it up when you want to hear it and turn it down again. Just be reassured to know that it's still going on somewhere. I think I really like songs where it loops, and there's, rather than being a bit over dramatic and having big key changes and so on, that actually there's a sort of minimalistic variations on a theme that take you on a journey. And to me, that feels much more engaging than... Do you remember like the Love album?
Yeah, which was quite complex.
Yeah. I always liked that album, but again, I liked it in spite of myself. It was a bit too fiddly, a bit too full of detail. I really like music. In fact, even some of the Smith songs were just four chords looped round, and they found variations to build it into a chorus. I really like that. I like the idea that you don't have to try too hard.
Yeah. And probably a good example of that is the next tune you've got picked, if you want to introduce that one.
Yeah, well, when I received it... In fact, you sent this to me on a cassette. We used to send each other cassettes of music we'd heard, and you sent this to me. And when I put this particular track on, I thought my cassette player was broken. And so I took the tape out and cleaned the pinch wheel and put it back in again, and nothing changed. And it was because that was how the record sounded. And what I love about this, and I love about, you know, what for me is good music, is music which just avoids cliches. What I like about Ace of Spades is that it's kind of a metal track, but it avoids all the cliches of metal tracks. And this does the same thing with indie music at the time, which I was into. What I liked about this is it avoided all the cliches. And particularly at the time, the Smiths had made such a big impression that there was loads of bands trying to be the Smiths or something similar, and this really took it off in another direction. And then a bunch of other bands came along and turned it into a cliche, but this record for me just nearly killed me.
That is 23 years old, and that is Soon by My Bloody Valentine from their 1991 EP. Was it Glider EP? It was on, and it was on the album Loveless.
I heard it on the album Loveless. But I mean, and that's a good example, that the ending of that, and the whole album, in fact, is full of those loops with the sampled flutes and stuff that just keep rolling around, really hypnotic. And again, they might as well just carry on, never end those tracks.
We could have just looped that.
We could have just,
I don't know why we're talking.
We wouldn't have had to have said anything.
No.
Yeah.
People would have got it.
Right.
A band we've mentioned before, there was a big influence on you, and your haircut at the time was the Smiths, so you had a bit of a Morrissey quiff. Do you remember those days?
That was after the Casuals.
Post-Casuals, early university.
There was a confused period between that where I didn't really know what to do. Yeah. Had a side party, I think. And then Morrissey came along and helped me out with the haircut.
Yeah. And so I was trying to think of a Smith song to play, and then I decided to amalgamate two choices. And I know you like the Minnesota Mormons' Low.
Oh, yeah.
So here's an early single from Low and their cover version of Last Night I Dreamt That Somebody Loved Me.
Last night I dreamt that somebody loved me. No. We'll be right back.
You heard two songs there. We started off with Last Night I Dreamt That Somebody Loved Me, and that was a cover of the Smiths song by Low. And that was followed by Babes in Toyland with Ripe from 1991. And that was a choice of my guest, Simon Wilkerson, here on the Vinyl Venn Diagram Show. Tell us about Babes in Toyland, Simon.
I think it was 1991 that came out on cassette in the UK. And I remember going for a day out with my family to a country house or something, you know, one of those days. And so I just took my Walkman and I just walked around the gardens listening to that record, and I would rewind it and play it again. But it has a much stronger resonance because then I had a child quite early. I was 25. And for our postmodern generation, that was like having a baby at 12. And it was a young, it was a girl. And there are a few things to do with that. One is that there was this kind of notion that when you had a kid, life had to become ordinary again. And in fact, I remember hearing that. Do you remember Duran Duran did some terrible album of covers? I think it was on there, and they did a song called Ordinary Life, which was about slipping back into an ordinary life after being famous. And I remember thinking, shut up, stupid idiot. You know, because you don't have to be famous or any of those things to have an extraordinary life. And equally, having a child and having a baby means that it's even more incumbent on you to have an extraordinary life. And so when she reached sort of 8 or 9 and she was really getting into music, two of the things that were consistent in our lives was loud music and driving fast in the car. And we both loved to drive very fast with the music blaring. And I noticed that anytime that music had a female singer, she listened twice as hard. And I realized that it was important for her to have role models, you know, that I just picked that up from her behavior. And so this was the record. Then I realized I had to find this record and put it on. And I have this memory of charging down the M23 at 90 miles an hour with my daughter in the front with me, with that record blaring really, really loud. And it's like it was like my duty to say to her, you know, life needs to be really extraordinary. There's no excuse to have an ordinary life. It's got to be extraordinary, and it's got to be extreme. And equally, the record before that, it can be sublime as well. It doesn't have to be loud and shouty. It can be sublime, but both things are extraordinary, and it's important.
We probably should jump in here with some community radio announcements about not condoning 90-mile-an-hour driving down the road, listening to very loud post-grunge music. But, you can work that out for yourself. A selection I've got for you now, this is going back, this is 60 years old, this piece of music. And it kind of speaks to our collective love, I guess, of doo-wop and spooky, strange doo-wop. And the obvious one, the tune we both love, is the Flamingos' I Only Have Eyes For You.
Oh, yeah.
Which was simultaneously beautiful and very strange. This is even stranger, but probably not as beautiful. And this is Nolan Strong and the Diabolos with The Wind.
But my love lingers on. in a dream that the winds bring to me.
That was Nolan Strong and the Diablos and The Wind, and that was a record that was made a lot stranger by the recording process. I'm sure when they performed that in halls and rooms, it probably sounded quite straightforward, and by adding all those sounds to it, it just sounded a bit weirder.
And that and the Low record, there's something that could be very straight, that record, but there's something about the reverb in it that sings out in resonance with his voice every now and then, which I love that when people do that. And that record has that really, it's got a spring reverb on it, hasn't it? A really old, yeah. And probably quite a cheap one. You can hear it's a bit too short. It's not really resonating out, but it gives it that strange sort of like sung in a metal barrel kind of sound.
And they're probably all gathered around one microphone with a reverb on the mic. And
yeah,
they create this really strange sonic artifact.
That would fit well in a werewolf movie, I think. You know, a contemporary werewolf movie. I think there's something inherently spooky about all those doo-wop records. You know, they're trying to be really sweet.
Okay, so next up, 50 years into the future, from Nolan Strong and the Diablos to about 1998.
This artist, Plastic Man, I liked a lot earlier. So, you know, I really loved all the early 303, 808 stuff. In fact, you know, the stuff that I'm doing at the moment uses 303s and 808s, and there's a very strong element of you know, the DNA of Plastic Man in there. I love all, you know, because it's very loop based. I love all of that. And the other thing I like about this particular record, the whole album in fact, Consumed, is that the reverb is really an instrument. It's very minimalist. The changes are very small throughout the record, but a lot of those changes are reverb changes, coloring changes. I revisited this when I was touring in Australia in 2011. And while I was there, one of the radio channels in the morning, when I was being driven to where I was going to show some films, they played an early Plastic Man record in it, and it gave me a pang for him. And I revisited this album and this particular track. It's always the one. If I'm going to play one record off the album, this is the one. It's called Locomotion.
This is Currently Off Air with a Vinyl Venn Diagram Show, and I'm sharing the music we love with AV performance and installation artist, filmmaker and music maker circa 69, aka Simon Wilkinson.
Come along and walk with me and learn the songs that lovers sing. When they bleed, we'll dance along the river's edge as arm in arm along moonlit shore. The midnight cry but I just came to chase the blue. Like a child, you cling to me from every sound that rushes near. I whisper, it's just the breeze that licks your skin and rubs your breast, and as we lay our rivers flow away, your woman fear. Oh, I just came to chase the blues away.
Tim Buckley from the 1970 album Blue Afternoon, and that was Chase the Blues Away. What do you think of that song?
That was so close to being on my it was in my shortlist of tracks to play, and it's I was always a little conflicted with that because I really loved that song, and yet the lyrics are really earnest and they're really cheesy, and you know, but it's so beautiful. And actually it's a bit like Tom Waits. You could get Tom Waits to sing the phone book and it wouldn't really matter, because he uses his voice in such an interesting way. And that is really, there's no drums, it floats along really beautifully, it's very loopy, you know, there's lots of loops in the way the bass is used, and the brilliant guitar by Lee Underwood. I've always really loved it, and that was going to be, you know, for years that was the record that would be at my funeral. But it is a bit too earnest. It sends the wrong message for a funeral, I think.
What about the next track you've selected?
This is another, you know, this is another piece of music with a loop in it. The particular part of the loop which I love in this song, this piece of music, is the prepared piano. The thing I like about this is you'd never know when the loop's going to restart. And so every time it kicks in, it's like your stomach gets sucked out through your ears, and it's just beautiful.
This is the Silentium movement from Tabula Rasa by Avo Part.
Thank you.
That was Tabula Rasa by Arvo Pärt, and that was played by the Lithuanian Chamber Orchestra in 1977. Why do you pick that, Simon?
I picked that because it's a song, when I heard it, it was one of the, you know when you look back, in fact, exactly like we were doing here, making a short list of music that was somehow important or stuck in your head, so that if ever you were asked, what are your 20 favourite records, it's one of those that would always appear in the list, so that's one reason. But it's been very useful in the last couple of years, because my studio is actually was in a shack, and now it's in another shack, but essentially in the middle of the woods and vulnerable, you know, to theft,
to attackers.
And so what I did was I took a number of measures. Well, I put an alarm on, but the thing is that the studio is and it was my house as well, the first one, it's far enough from anyone that they wouldn't hear the alarm. So I also had a sign that said, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. Because I thought, I think you have to remember, it's not about the thing, it's about what happens before and after the thing. So you see the shack in the woods, you see the sign saying, trespassers will be shot, that's one thing. And then I thought, if I play music loud when I go out, when I'm not there, so A, it confuses people about whether there's someone there and whether they can break in or not. B, the type of music you play will dictate how they feel about that. And you could play hip hop, you could play drum and bass or something that makes you, you know, in a cliched world, people think makes them sound tough. But I thought of opera for a while, really loud opera. But then I thought this, it's so gentle. But if you play it really, really loud, and I have a 1,000-watt PA in my studio, if you play it really loud and there's a sign that says trespassers will be shot and it's in the middle of the woods, you know, no one's going to break in there. So that's that. It became my burglar deterrent.
And kind of form of psychological warfare, sort of Guantanamo Bay style within the Brighton confines.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And so it has various resonances for me, this track. And that's the most recent one.
Right, here's my last selection for you. This is probably one, maybe, I'm not sure you listen to this artist. I think one of my favourite artists. And I think it has many of the attributes you like in music. It's very loopy, it's very bassy. It's got an amazing array of sounds. It sounds like it's from another world. It could go on forever. But I'm not sure you're going to like this one. So this is Alice Coltrane and Ferris Sanders. And this is Journey into Satchidananda. Thank you. That was Alice Coltrane and the title track from her 1970 LP Journey in Satchidananda. And she says on the liner notes to that, anyone listening to this selection should try to envision himself floating on an ocean of Satchidananda's love. That's the name of her swami, which is literally carrying countless devotees across the vicissitudes and stormy blasts of life to the other shore. And on that note, we come to the last selection of our guest, Simon Wilkinson, who's been picking some of the songs he loves for our Vinyl Venn Diagram show. And one of the services we offer here on the Vinyl Venn Diagram show is playing and providing a PA and a turntable to play a song at your funeral to celebrate your passing to the other shore. So what selection have you made?
Well, I knew what band it was going to be, but it was about, you know, there's about 20 tracks that I could choose. And so it's Sonic Youth, and it was really tough. I have to say, choosing which one. There literally was about 20 tracks of theirs, which I really love. But this one, it makes me think of my daughter again. You know, it was another track that she really loved, the one, you know, we liked together. And so it's the track Cool Thing.
Simon Wilkinson, thank you very much. You've been listening to a Vinyl Venn Diagram show here on Currently Off Air with my guest Circa 69. For more of Simon's music, films and audiovisual hijinks, check out his website, circa69.co.uk. To hear some of Circa 69's music, point your browsers towards reverbnation.com/circa69. For a playlist, to listen again, to subscribe to the podcast and see the resulting Venn diagram from this episode, head to currentlyoffair.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Currently Off Air, all one word. Until next time, thanks for listening.
When you're a star, I know that you're fixed.